Okay, so we're going to learn now Parshas B'Shalach, second Sicha. Page 17, chapter 1, two challenges. On their journey from Egypt to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah, the Jews confronted two wars, one against Paray and another against Amalek. This week's Torah reading describes Hashem's distinct commands, how the Jews were to conduct themselves in each battle. For the confrontation with Paray, God instructed, God will fight for you and you shall remain silent. However, for the war with Amalek, he commanded, go out and battle Amalek, directing them to also engage in actual physical combat. That's right. In the first part of the Parsha, it speaks about still where they're fighting against Paray, because Paray is still there, Paray is still chasing them, and that's where the splitting of the sea happens, a complete miracle done by Hashem, and Hashem says, don't fight Paray. Hashem will fight for you. Hashem yilachem lachem, and you just remain silent, watch the miracle occur, and something truly miraculous, a splitting of the sea, nobody could even fathom it, happened. And at the end of the parasha, after the splitting of the sea, now only the Jews survived. Paray and the Egyptians are all beneath the ocean. And now they have a new enemy, Amalek. And the parasha ends with the distinct and clear commandment from Hashem, where Hashem tells the Jewish people, for Amalek, go out and battle them. There needs to be a physical combat, says the Rebbe. Chapter 2, there was a fundamental difference between these two wars. Paray and his army pursued the Jews from behind. He did not stand between them and Mount Sinai. Instead, he blocked their path back to their former life, to the fish which we ate in Egypt, a land where the Jews had been promised, you shall eat the fat of the land. Paray had declared that the Jews could only enjoy Egypt's abundance if they remained his servants. Since he posed no obstacle to receiving the Torah, the Jews were instructed, God will fight for you, and you shall remain silent. Right? Because again, Jews left first. Egypt, Paray chases the Jewish people. They are, and when Jews say, hey, we don't like where we are, let's just return to slavery because we don't want to feel chased, and we don't want to hear, you know, we're being chased into the Nile. And it's scary. So there, Paray says, okay, you want to come back? Only if you're back to my slaves. To that kind of enemy, Hashem says, remain silent. Hashem will fight the fight for you. The Rebbe continues, the armies of Amalek, however, positioned themselves between the Jewish people and Mount Sinai. Here, the issue was not about preventing the Jews from entering a good and prosperous land. Instead, armies of Amalek were blocking passage through the desert, the place where, as our sages explain in Medrash Tanchuma, the Torah was specifically destined to be given. Amalek attempted to prevent the Jews from advancing to receive the Torah. Splitting of the sea happens. They leave. They're now safe. Now they want to advance into the desert and the place where Mount Sinai is going to be, where they're going to receive a Torah. Now Amalek attacks. Says the Rebbe, this is why they were commanded to actively battle Amalek. Because when facing an obstacle and an impediment to receiving the Torah, a Jew must take whatever action is necessary to clear the path. Amalek was descended from Esav, and we have been taught, is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav, meaning that the hands, violent action, is the lot of Esav and his descendants. As it is written, by your sword you shall live. Nevertheless, although this is generally not the Jewish path, whenever anything blocks them from receiving the Torah, Jews should not calculate what is fitting according to their nature, but should proceed. They must use all ways and means possible to advance, as long as this will enable them to receive the Torah and unite with it. This is why an actual physical war was waged against Amalek. Even so, while engaging in it, the Jews' approach was not to suggest that my strength and the might of my hand are the sources of success. Rather, it was a war waged for Hashem's sake, to enable His manifestation in this world. Since, as our sages taught, neither God's name nor His throne is complete until the seed of Amalek is obliterated. Says the Rebbe, the Jewish person has to be told by Hashem a lesson forever. That we have to make a move, we have to get involved, we have to fight the war of Hashem if it's something that's in the way of Jewish people advancing to Torah. And therefore, now, we're not talking about an egoistic war, right? We're not talking about a war where Jews think that it's their own might. Of course, it's all for Hashem. As Hashem says, that Hashem needs the seed of Amalek to be wiped out by Jewish people. But the point is, what's the point? The point is, there's a fundamental difference between Pare's army and Amalek's army. One is from behind, meaning that all they're trying to prevent Jewish people is to go to just a space that's prosperous, that's, you know, plentiful. So there he says, no problem, you'll be my slaves. To that Hashem says, no need to fight them. I'll take care of you. I'm about to do something incredible. But when someone comes to you, an Amalek, an enemy, this could be an enemy from within, but if an enemy is an enemy, that the enemy's goal is to try to stop a Jew from Torah, that's a whole different thing. A Jew and Torah are completely one. It's like taking the food away from somebody, or like taking a fish out of water. Kehem chayenu, this is our entire life. Chapter 3. Since the war with Amalek was fought for the sake of receiving the Torah, the war as a whole, with all its details, was connected with Moshe, our teacher, the one who received the Torah from Sinai. Moshe initiated the battle. It was he who told Yeshua, choose men for us and go out and fight Amalek. The battle began with Moshe's prayer, and it was conducted by Moshe's hand-picked men. Explain the Hasidic teachings. The phrase, choose men for us, implies that the men chosen for the war were Moshe's men, and they were identified with him. Moreover, the victory came about through Yeshua, Moshe's faithful attendant. So chapter 3 says the Rebbe, a very important detail. Notice that Amalek is fought by the Jewish people, but the finger of Moshe is on every single step of this battle. It's his men, not just mighty men, but it's his people who are the ones that are chosen. And it's all done through Yeshua. Moshe's faithful attendant is the one who is at the forefront of the physical battle. Chapter 4. The victory of the Jewish people in the war with Amalek surpassed the bounds of nature. According to natural law, Amalek should have prevailed, since the Talmud Yerushalmi relates the Amalekites were skilled in sorcery and selected soldiers who, according to the astrological patterns, were destined to live and not die in battle. Although they sent such men into battle, the Jews defeated them. The victory was possible because when one goes to war armed with the power of the Torah, he achieves victory in a way that is not bound by the patterns determined by nature. Since, as mentioned, these were Moshe's men, each one of them knew that when going to fight Amalek, he was not proceeding with his own strength and might. Instead, he was going as an emissary of and with the power of Moshe, acting as an emissary of and with the power of the Torah. Therein lie the key to their victory. Says the Rebbe, a very important lesson here. It's not all, till now we said, till chapter 3 we said, that when something stops a Jew from learning Torah, from advancing to Torah, we have to fight. We have to fight, which means we're talking about, obviously, a fight, to fight for our rights. An enemy within that's stopping us from studying Torah, we don't say, oh, that's up to Hashem. No, that's up to me. I need to stop that negative voice. I have to, right? We say, Hashem, everything's in Hashem's hands. Hakol b'deshamayim chutz mir shamayim. Everything's in God's hands besides fear of heaven. Fear of heaven is up to me. So when something, when there's a voice that's trying to stop me from studying Torah, I must take matters in my own hands and say, no, this battle I'm going to fight. That was till chapter 3. Chapter 3, chapter 4 explains another very important element. That this fight is not just a Jew and Torah. There's another component here that's very, very important. And that is the idea that Moshe is involved. Why does Moshe need to be involved? Because the Amalekites, they were doing things. They were working with sorcery, magic, astrology. They did different things within, you know, to note, to be able to be like convinced that they're going to win. They had to make sure that they're going to win this war. And therefore, there needs to be the power of Moshe, who's a complete emissary of the Torah. As the Rebbe says, the Moshe, the power of Moshe, Hashem's man in this world, and because he is fighting on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, that is a key element to fighting Amalek. As I always love to say, a Jewish person has the Yetzirah, the power, the force within him that tries to sway a person from fulfilling the will of Hashem. And the power that God brought into the world to help the Jewish people fight against this challenge, this negative influence, the Yetzirah, is the idea of a Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea of a Moshe Rabbeinu, a Moses in every generation, is the power that Hashem instills in the world to help and inspire and empower Jewish people to be able to overcome the evil inclination. So if there has to be a choice in life of good versus bad, yes, the end result is Torah versus something against the Torah, the mitzvahs or something against God's will. But that's not enough to go through life. Hashem also injects an evil inclination. And the evil inclination's role is to try to keep motivating you to be inclined to like do the negative thing. That inclination Hashem injects in this world so that you're now pulled to the evil. So to counter that, Hashem puts in something called a Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moses of every generation, whose role is the opposite. The role of Moshe Rabbeinu is to inspire and reach every single Jew to be able to be empowered, to be motivated, to overcome the negative inclination, to inspire the positive inclination. And that's the role of a Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, it's Amalek who's trying to do different kinds of things within nature, like astrology and sorcery and magic, which is like trying to like manipulate nature to work for their benefit. And you need somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, only a Moshe Rabbeinu and his men, inspired and empowered by Moshe, that gave the Jewish people the ability to fight and win over Amalek. Rebbe continues, the commandment to remember Amalek applies every day. Therefore, the above instruction also applies regarding the battle with the spiritual Amalek that we face daily. The Torah describes Amalek's attack using the words Asher Karcha, which literally means who encountered you. However, Kar shares its root with the word Kar, meaning cold, allowing for the interpretation that Amalek cooled you off. Their attack cooled the fervor of the Jewish people for receiving the Torah. At that time, the Jewish people were aflame with the great enthusiasm for the Torah they were about to receive. Their zeal was so great that it affected even the nations of the world, as illustrated by the parable of the boiling bath offered by Midrash Tanchuma. All the nations saw that the Jews were like a flaming fire. At that juncture in time, Amalek came to cool the Jewish people from their enthusiasm to receive the Torah. From the story, we learn how to proceed when there is something that cools our enthusiasm for Torah. A, we must employ every means possible to fight against it, doing whatever is necessary so that we receive it, Torah. And B, we must know that this is not accomplished through our own strength and might, but through the power of Moshe, which is the power of Torah. Now the Rebbe in chapter 5 explains the lesson, which is, Amalek specifically tries to cool you off. Hey, don't be so excited about Torah. Don't be so excited about doing a mitzvah. Do it, but why do it with a fervor, with a passion? Take it easy. That voice that that we hear inside our heart and mind. Hey, take it easy. You know, don't get so excited. That we have to know. Torah helps us and defines that voice to be the voice of an inner Amalek. Yes, Jewish people need to be passionate about Judaism. Does it come easy? No. But that's a call to action. That's part of our to-do list. We're on a mission. And a mission as Jews means that every single day we have to be passionate, excited, enthusiastic about the next mitzvah. And don't wait for it to come upon you. The excitement has to be something that we work on. To stay enthusiastic, to stay excited, to keep the passion alive. But when you hear a voice that says, hey, why the passion? Know to identify it. And the way to identify it is, hey, that's an Amalek. Because Amalek is defined by the voice that tries to battle your enthusiasm by cooling you off. When you hear that voice in your mind, what you have to do, Torah teaches us in this week's parasha, is number one, remember it's Amalek and you have to fight it. Don't ignore it. Recognize the enemy and shoot. Aim. This is not for me. It's not me. I'm not going to be defined by that voice. No. I will fight and make sure to always be enthusiastic. And remember that the way we're able to accomplish and succeed this is through the power that Hashem put in this world called the power of Torah, and the power specifically of Moshe Rabbeinu, who works with the power of Torah to be able to inspire us, to be able to always stay inspired and passionate. Rebbe ends off regarding the verse beginning, Yisroi heard, our sages ask, what news did he hear that caused him to come? And they answer, the war with Amalek. The news of the Jews' victory reached us even as far as Midian, where Yisroi resided. As a result of hearing the news, Yisroi declared, now I know that God is greater than all the deities. As explained in the Zohar, his declaration prepared the setting for the giving of the Torah. Similarly, at present, going forth to battle the spiritual Amalek with the power of Moshe will have an all-encompassing impact, affecting even Midian, the nation which is a spiritual counterpart of friction and strife, the force preventing unity. This will serve as preparation for the revelation and the reception of the inner dimension of Torah that will be made known by Mashiach. May this take place speedily in our days. Amen. So, in summary, remember a Yid and a passion for Judaism is something that we have to make sure to always keep in our minds and heart. Don't wait for something good to happen so that we could be passionate. On the contrary, every single day, let's make it our business. That what are we going to do today with a passion to advance Torah, to advance mitzvahs, and to spread Torah and mitzvahs, not just in our own mind and heart, but to everyone in our neighborhood and surrounding, and our friends and colleagues and co-workers and neighbors, so that we could inspire the world with Torah, mitzvahs, and Hasidic philosophy that gives you that inner passion of Torah, the inner dimension of Torah, and understanding that the ability to be able to overcome this Amalek is in the system of how Hashem runs the world is given specifically through Moshe Rabbeinu. So by connecting to our Moshe Rabbeinu, we can keep our passion alive to always overcome our inner battles and prepare ourselves and everyone around us for coming of Mashiach now. Amen.